Well, Christmas isn't just a few days. Amen? We'll all be receiving gifts and giving gifts. But how do we decide in our minds what makes a Christmas gift a great gift? Our theme this year for Christmas sermons has been about gifts and what to think about these gifts. First sermon I did was called The Unexpected Gift. Jesus was the most unexpected of gifts. And then last week, do we keep this gift or do we turn it the day after Christmas? As we think about gifts of the past, did we get the gifts that we really wanted and hoped for? Or did we get the gifts that we really needed? Did we get that cool, long, hoped-for gift? Or did we get socks and T-shirts? The things that we really needed. And did we decide to return those gifts that we received, that we really needed, but we didn't really want? Larry, would you pray over the sermon today, please?
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the season that is upon us. We're thankful for the blessings and the sacrifices that you've made to save us. Lord, we pray that you will have the Holy Spirit fall upon Randy now and guide him through his sermon. Pray that you will have it fall on our ears that we hear the words that we need to hear. Guide us to you, Lord.
So we're going to begin today by exploring what qualities or attributes make up a great gift. One quality would be the measure of time and thought that went into choosing the gift for the receiver. The great gift is not something randomly selected with little or no thought to the person receiving it. And the value is not necessarily the money spent on it, but the time and the thought spent in choosing it so that the person who receives the gift receives it with joy and feels special, appreciated, loved. Another attribute would be if the gift fits the receiver. And this thought ties to the last. This great gift is something that shows that the giver knows the person well, the person's likes and the person's dislikes, and knows their personality. Another quality would be if the gift improves or enhances the relationship between the giver and the receiver. Have you really thought about that? Does this gift actually improve our relationship with one another? Perhaps there's a personal touch that includes the gift being handmade just for that one person, or so heartfelt that the receiver gains new appreciation for the affection of the giver. Or perhaps it's a gift that allows the giver to really show the receiver how much he or she is loved and appreciated in a way that wasn't ever expressed before. The quality of a good gift is that it requires sacrifice by the giver. Amen? There's an obvious price that was paid for this gift. It may be financial, or it may be great effort, or time, or even giving something the giver knew the receiver wanted. Okay, I know you want it, and the giver had it to give, so I have it to give to you, but I love it too. The giver loves it too, and did not really want to let go of it, but gave it away anyway. Sacrificial giving. And sometimes even the name of the gift is important. You ever think about that? Is this gift the genuine article? Or is it a cheaply made imitation of something that would be great if it was the real one, but much less appreciated if it were just a cheap imitation? A real diamond or cubic zirconia? And lastly, does the gift last a long time? I mean, what are some of the popular gifts of the past? And what are the gifts maybe you've received over your lifetime and different times? I remember for our kids, it may have been Nintendo. Or perhaps the Cabbage Patch doll, remember that? And they were out of them and there's lines. the Razor scooter, that came in around 2000, a PlayStation, Xbox. Remember Beanie Babies? They were really popular for Rachy. Further back in time, the game Pictionary, the Rubik's Cube. Further back, the Easy Bake Oven. Or sometimes it was the most current game of the time, like Life. Remember, Life was really popular. Chutes and Ladders was a great one for kids. Yeah. I think we still have one. But eventually, even the best gifts run their course of usefulness or fun. Over the years, they are replaced by another great gift. We have to go all the way back to the first Christmas, where Christmas giving eventually evolved from, to find a gift that meets all the criteria of a great gift and also has never and will never become outdated or obsolete. So let's explore that gift. Here are some descriptions of this first Christmas gift. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, starting in verse 1. The title in my Bible is The Servant of the Lord. And it says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight." And in my little footnotes here, I've written in my own hand, that servant is Jesus. This is a messianic prophecy. So here is my servant, Jesus, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you, that is Jesus, in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." The servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What a gift to mankind. And even here it says, way back then, including the Gentiles, including you and me. Now flip over a page or two to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verses 3 and 4. "Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples." I have made him a witness here refers to the Messiah, not to David. The Messiah comes from David's seed and is promised by God to David, just as God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this witness here is described as much higher than the historic David. He says that he will be a witness and a commander of all the peoples. This side of the cross, we can see that this is the Christ, who is clearly a witness, a leader, and a commander. All three. Matthew Henry wrote, "He has given him freely. For what more free than a gift? There is nothing in us to merit such a favor, but Christ is the gift of God." John 3:16 clearly states it. Most of us have memorized it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave the world his Son as a free gift. The purpose of this free gift is told in the very next verse, 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What a great gift. Jesus even declares in John 4:10 that he is God's gift. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We start in verse 7. And here we are when Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. This is when he's on the road and he meets the Samaritan woman. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She's thinking in her head, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Praise God. From the pulpit commentary, I paraphrase this comment. Jesus is actually saying, if you knew that I am actually the Son of God, that I am God in flesh, and that I have so emptied myself of my eternal glory so as to ask for water from a Samaritan and a woman. Keep in mind where we are in the first century and their culture. He has lowered himself so below his divinity, he is now asking for water from a Samaritan and much less even a Samaritan woman. He says, you would see that I myself am a gift, the supreme gift of God. And I am the eternal source of life, the living water. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 2. We'll get into the familiar parts of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord." This is Christ, the best gift ever. We were singing it, Christ, Christ. This is Christ. So let's now see this gift described, how it compares with our list of criteria for a great gift. Time and thought went into this gift. Jesus was chosen for the task of fulfilling God's plan to bring salvation to you and me, to the entire world, when? Before the creation of the world. Please turn to 1 Peter. It's back there, you know, right past Hebrews. 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting in verse 18. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." A lot of thought went into that. Chosen before the creation of the world. Now that's time and thought into giving a gift. Now, does this gift fit the receiver? We are the receiver. Well, Jesus came to enter into a personal relationship with us. Not for us just to become part of a religion, a movement. He came in flesh, just like ours, so that we could fully relate to him, Emmanuel. God with us. This gift improves or enhances the relationship between the giver and the receiver. As we know it, similar to what I just said, the only way we could truly know the love of God and how much He desires to be in relationship with us would be for God to become one of us. And that's what Jesus did. This gift clearly improves our relationship with God, for through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we have been redeemed, bought back, and we no longer owe a sin debt to our Heavenly Father. We're no longer enemies. We are made one. We are one with Him, and He is one with us, which is His great desire for us. But also it is the great desire that dwells in each and every one of us to be at one with our Creator. The gift requires a sacrifice by the giver. You're in 1 Peter, go to 1 John, just a couple books back. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you grasp hold of that? Turn back one page to 1 John 2. One of my many favorite verses in the Word of God. 1 John 2, verse 2. He, being Jesus Christ, the righteous one, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. What a great gift. Wow. Jesus died on the cross so that we could live with God now and eternally, forever. That's the ultimate sacrifice. And the name of the gift is important. In Matthew 1, 20 and 21, the angel Lord comes to Joseph in a dream, and he told Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Imagine how that must have hit Joseph. She's pregnant, and I know I didn't participate in that. And now his name is going to be Jesus because he's going to save the people from their sins. His name is Yeshua. God saves. And finally, does the gift last? Well, this gift lasts forever. It never perishes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the gift that is timeless. Earthly gifts last for a time, but they are sooner or later replaced. Jesus is God's eternal gift, and this gift gives eternally, forever, life with God, the Creator of the universe. So let us receive this great gift with joy, thanksgiving to God, our Father, who is the giver of all good things. Amen? And let us rest in this gift's eternal, always existing, perfect nature. Amen. Lord, help us to receive the gift. Help us to receive it. It's free. So help us to receive it. And once we receive it, Lord, I pray you will help us to understand the value of this gift, the time you put into it, everything about it that makes it not just a great gift, but the best gift ever and perfect. And, oh, Lord, let it not be said that we return this gift later, that after Christmas we decide we don't want that gift anymore. We're going to return it. Let it not be said of us. Help us, oh, Lord, to keep Jesus in the center of our lives each and every day. And let it begin with us today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.